with me. And I've got the New Living Translation, so it might be a bit different. Okay. Ephesians 3. When I think of all of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me this special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to the previous generations, but now by his Spirit he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all of God's people, he graciously gave me this privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please, don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honoured. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with his inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
It's been actually quite a while since I've been at the 6:30 Surfers, which is really weird for me. I've become one of those people who only ever rocks up when I'm on something. Now, before you get really judgmental, there's a good reason for that. If you don't know, my wife Naomi and my kids, we're preparing to head to Central Asia at the end of this year, long term. And so, actually, we've been away a lot at the start of this year, and we will be away for a fair bit over the next couple of months visiting other churches and just sharing our story, sharing about the context we're going to, and raising support and partnership there. So, I've actually really missed being here, and so I'm really excited that I have this opportunity to share from God's Word tonight. But before we get into it, just let me pray for us. Lord, we just take a breath now and just give you this time. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to be shaped by you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would do a work in our hearts and in our minds this evening. Lord, be with me as I speak. Give me the words I need to say. Pray you'd have your way here in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. When it comes to persevering at something that takes considerable motivation, energy, and discipline, honestly, I am hopeless. I'm really terrible. I'm okay at like starting new things, being inspired by something I've seen on TV or something that someone shared about me, some new initiative to get into. But more often than not, sooner or later, I just give up. I can't hack it. When other stuff comes up that kind of interrupts this new program that I'm onto, it all just goes out the window. quite often I'm just soft, to be honest. And let me give you an example. There's a period of about 3 months a couple of years ago where I jumped on the 7-minute workout bandwagon. Does anyone know what that is? You can download this app. It's probably still there. There's a whole bunch of apps called the 7-minute workout, and it just gives you like 10 exercises to do in 7 minutes, push-ups, sit-ups, whatever. It's pretty easy. My heart rate was getting up pretty high in that 7 minutes. And actually, it was quite helpful. 7 minutes a day, and I was feeling a lot better physically, and I even dropped a couple of kgs. And you might be thinking, how hard is it to persevere day by day doing a 7-minute workout? Come on, that's nothing. Well, I lasted 3 months, and that was it. After that, I gave it up. I couldn't hack it anymore. I was all kind of excuses I could give, but that's just what happened. And it's the same when it comes to bike riding. I, at some stage, tried to embrace my inner mammal, my middle-aged man in Lycra. But again, I just couldn't keep it up. I could do it for like 4 months at a time, and then I just got tired. And I mean, last time the excuse was our third child was born. Jacob was born in November last year, and since then I've not been back on the bike. It probably explains this bad dad bod that I'm getting, but let's move on from there. Physical exercise is one thing, right? But I think disciplines of spiritual significance are just as difficult to maintain, if not more. And one of the hardest things, I think, for us to keep up motivation for, to keep stamina for, is engaging in mission, is living a life that is missional on a day-to-day basis. That's really, really hard to keep up with. All too often, I think, we lose motivation, we lose stamina in this area. And at the start of this year, we spent 5 weeks as a church looking at the topic of local mission and exploring further what it might look like for us to engage in kind of faith conversations with our friends and serve our community and show the love of Jesus to those around us. Here's a question for you. How many of you, either during that series or at some point in your life, have felt kind of inspired to embrace this call to mission? You've kind of just felt G'd up. You felt, yes, this is what I need to do as a disciple of Jesus. I've got to engage in mission. You've recognized that it's something that all of us as Christians, we have to be a part of. For those of you who have felt this, who have thought this, what's been the fruit of it? Now, while I hope that there are some of you who have managed to kind of reshape our lives and become kind of missional in the way we live it out, I'm sure there's just as many of us who have kind of gone back to old habits. And actually, it hasn't really, in the long term, changed the way we engage with the world around us. We just go back to our faith being more of a kind of personal thing between us and God, between us and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But it's all too easy to kind of give up on this mission thing, because it's actually quite hard and it takes discipline to be intentional about it. And I think the passage that Paula just read out to us in Ephesians actually has a lot to say to us who struggle with motivation in this area. So let's dive in and see what we can learn from it. We're just going to work through it kind of section by section and starting looking at verses 1 to 6. And here, Paul reminds the Ephesians of how God, through the Holy Spirit, specifically revealed the truth of Jesus, the gospel, to him and to other apostles and prophets of that time. If you know anything about the story of the early church, you know that in Acts 9, it describes Jesus meeting Paul on the road to Damascus. Now, Paul had been someone who had persecuted the church. He had stood by while Stephen was stoned to death. He loved seeing Christians killed. And yet Jesus stops him on the road, and he says to turn away from that life and become a follower of me and bring the gospel to the world. And as we read here in this passage, God specifically showed Paul, who was a Jew, and a very zealous Jew at that, he showed him that not only did Jesus come to save the Jews, but he came to save everyone else as well. He came to save the Gentiles. Now, Paul describes this gospel and the fact that the Gentiles are included as a mystery because the Jews didn't expect this. Even though in the Old Testament, the Jews were called to be a light to the nations, even though they were called to embrace the foreigner, they had kind of become to embrace this theology that they alone were the ones who were worthy of God's love and that God's promises only applied to them. But as Paul writes in verse 6, he says, "This mystery is that through the Gospels, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus." Jew, Gentile, slave, free, men, women, all are equal in Christ, are one in Christ Jesus. Everyone who trusts in Jesus is part of the body of Christ. We're all heirs, we're all children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what our background is. And that was something that Todd last week talked a lot about. But what I want us to notice here in Ephesians 3 is this sense of privilege and gratefulness that Paul has, that this amazing truth about Jesus has been revealed personally to him. In verse 2, how does he describe it? He describes it as a gracious gift that God has given to me. And it seems to me that Paul, actually, he never really loses sight of that. He never forgets this precious gift of the gospel that he's been given that unites all people under Christ. And I think for Paul, one of the key things that enabled him to remain motivated in mission was that he constantly stood in awe of the good news of Jesus. And that's my first point. If we're to stay motivated on mission, we need to constantly remind ourselves of how privileged we are to have heard and to have understood the gospel. We should never lose sight of how awesome it is not only to know about Jesus, not only to know about his death and resurrection and how we are saved by grace, but actually to know him personally, to have a relationship with the God who created the universe. It's astounding. But I think sometimes we forget how amazing that truth is, right? And I was reminded of this on Friday night, just gone. I've just become involved in a team that meets on a Friday night in a building at Morling College, where I'm still living, called Morling Residential College. Now, this building has been put up in July last year. It's 100 bedrooms, and it's a student accommodation building. Not many students there are from Morling. Most are from Macquarie Uni. So there's a lot of non-Christians there. And this Friday night group that's running is really a place where people can come and explore faith. They can explore, well, what is this Christian thing all about? And it's awesome because, there's about something like 15 or 16 different nationalities in this building, a mix of people from all over the world. And it's the same in the group. You've got people from all walks of life, from all faith backgrounds, from all cultural backgrounds. And one of those people is a guy named Ahmed. Now, Ahmed is from Saudi Arabia, and he is a devout Muslim. He, 5 times a day, will be out on his prayer mat praying to Allah, praying towards Mecca. I think he's actually come to college to evangelize us. He is genuinely a Muslim evangelist. He is passionate about his faith. He loves talking about it. He won't stop. But it's great because he's actually engaging with us. And he's a lovely guy. Now, Ahmed, the first 6 months, actually, he came along to this group. Every time the Bible was brought out, he would leave the room and he would go and pray. But the last 2 weeks, which just happens to be the first 2 weeks I've been there, not that I'm the cause of this, but he's actually, not at all, he's actually stayed and he's read the Bible with us. And just on Friday night, he willingly out loud read a passage in Mark's Gospel to us. We were working through the first chapter of Mark, and he read about Jesus healing a man with leprosy. And this is what he read. "A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus was filled with compassion. He reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said. 'Be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." Now, you know what happened after Ahmed read those words? Involuntarily, he just kind of let out this gasp. And he just said, like, wow. Halfway through reading this passage. And I asked him after, like, well, what happened there? What was that about? And he just was struck by the fact that Jesus would touch a man with leprosy. Ahmed knows that you don't touch anyone with leprosy. And he was struck by the power that Jesus had to heal this man. Now, Ahmed has many, many questions, and he's on a journey, and we're praying that he would come to faith one day. But this little incident reminded me that we have become so familiar with the stories of the gospel, with stories about Jesus, stories of our salvation in him, that we've actually lost our sense of awe and our sense of wonder at it all. When was the last time that you read a passage of Scripture and you gasped? It's been a long time for me. We've forgotten how privileged we are to know this stuff, to know Jesus personally. It's just become too familiar for us. My eldest son, Ryan, is 5 years old and he started school this year. He started down at Kent Road Public where Mr. Higgins is teaching. Here he's doing a great job. A couple of the young girls at college have got him as a teacher and they love him. Shout out. But Ryan loves kindergarten, right? He is just passionate about going to school, which is so cool. He comes home and he tells us all about it, tells us all about the letter of the day. He tells us all about the funny thing his teacher did. He told us all about Harmony Day and all the different activities. I asked some other kids about it who live on campus and they said, "Yeah, it was all right. It was all right, a bit boring." Ryan came home going, "That was the greatest thing I've ever experienced in my life." He is just passionate about kindergarten, and that includes his homework. He comes home, and straight away, he wants to get into it. I mean, I couldn't believe they give homework in kindergarten. It's just colouring in and tracing letters, but still. But you know what? I know that sooner or later, Ryan is actually going to lose motivation. He can't stay at this level for his entire school life. It's going to become a bit of a grind. It's going to become normal, and he's going to start to become take that whole school thing for granted. When it comes to our faith, we're no different, are we? We might have started kind of with a bang and just with excitement, especially if you haven't grown up in the church and you discovered Jesus for the first time. But over time, we begin to take it all for granted. Now, if we're to stay motivated in mission, I think we've just got to change that. We need to constantly remind ourselves that there are many people who don't have the same privilege that we do. People around our world, our neighbourhood, in our schools and unis and workplaces, who, while they might have heard about the name Jesus, they haven't really heard the story. They don't really get it. We can't take this for granted. In the next section, we see that just as Paul never took the truth of the gospel for granted, but rather he saw it as a gracious gift from God, he also recognized that his call to take the gospel to the world was a gracious gift as well and a privilege that God had bestowed upon him. Look at verses 7 and 8. Paul writes, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ." Here, Paul concedes that he's completely unworthy. He is ill-equipped for this task that God has given him. After all, Paul was the guy who was killing Christians. And not only that, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about the fact that he's not a learned speaker. He's not eloquent. He's not cut out for this. And yet, by God's grace, after having revealed the truth of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus as Savior and Lord, God calls him to share that with others. He has a responsibility to pass that on. And if we look throughout the New Testament, if we look at the Great Commission and all the letters, we see that we too, as followers of Jesus, have that same responsibility. We're called to make disciples of all nations. We're called to give a reason for the hope that we have. We're called to make the most of every single opportunity. But how do we see that responsibility? Do we see it as a gracious gift, as Paul did? Or do we see it as a heavy burden that has been put on our backs and something we have to bear? See, I think the reason that many of us lack motivation when it comes to mission is because we see it as that burden. We feel ill-equipped and unworthy, but we can't overcome it like Paul managed to. And I think maybe one of the key reasons for that is because we've bought into this idea a little bit that our faith is kind of primarily a private matter, something between us and God. And I saw an example of this a few years back when I went to Hillsong, and this isn't against Hillsong at all, and I saw an interview with Bear Grylls. Most of you know who Bear Grylls is, right? Yeah. So Bear Grylls is an adventurer, an ex-British Special Forces, and he was in the show Man vs. Wild. How many of you have seen this? Most people. Okay, cool. I was a big fan of that show, even though it was way over the top and ridiculous and staged a lot of the time. He went to some sweet environments, and some of the stuff he did was pretty crazy, really. Drinking fluid from elephant dung is not something that I would like to do at any point. But Bear Grylls is also the face of Alpha. Many of you know Alpha as a course that explains the gospel over a period of like 10 weeks or something. And he's the Alpha ambassador. And so he came along and was interviewed by Brian Houston at this particular event that I went to. And he got to ask a whole bunch of questions. But one of the questions that was asked of him was about the impact that his faith in Christ had made on him. And the one thing I remember from that night is Bear Grylls' response to that. And he said that his faith was actually primarily a personal and private thing between him and God. And while it had a significant impact on his life and it had helped him with a bunch of challenges, he actually didn't like to talk about it too much. He was happy to be the face of Alpha, given the impact it had had on his life. But he didn't want to go too much further than that. Now, I don't know Bear Grylls. I don't know his reasons for that. But this just sat a little bit uneasily with me. I'm not calling into question whether he has faith or not. But I do want to call out that idea that our faith is primarily or exclusively about our vertical relationship with God, our standing before him and our salvation. That is a key part of it, yes. But the Bible doesn't allow us to keep it at that. See, that transformed vertical relationship should result in transformed horizontal relationships, both with those who are in the church, but kind of most significantly, those who are outside. It results in action, and that includes passing on the beautiful message of the gospel that we have received already. It's not something we can keep to ourselves. We have to pay it forward. We have to pass it on so that others might experience the same peace and joy and comfort and hope that we have in Jesus. And Paul shows us here, you know, actually this doesn't need to be a burden. So the fact that God would choose us as flawed, unworthy human beings to carry out his plans to reach the people of this world is just amazing. It's a gift. It's crazy that God would choose to do it that way. But that's how he works. You see it all throughout the Bible. He chooses the least likely of people. And it need not be burdensome because, in fact, God enables us for this task. All throughout this passage, in verse 5, 7, 16, 18, 20, we see Paul referring to the power of God that comes upon him and the Ephesians by the Holy Spirit. He empowers us for this task. We just need to depend on him. And all of that is to say that I think this reveals a second way in which we can persevere and remain motivated in mission. We need to remember that this isn't a burden that has been placed on our shoulders, but this task in itself is a precious gift and privilege that we've been given. And God will give us the power to do it. We need to change our thinking around mission and see it as a privilege and joy and not a burden. Now, I don't know about you, but I actually think this is 100% on. I mean, how good is it when you see people reading stories from the New Testament for the first time? When you see people come to know Jesus personally, when you see lives transformed by the power of the gospel, when you hear amazing testimonies of the way God has worked in people's lives, like there's nothing better than a baptism service, right? When you hear that testimony of how God has changed someone's life, there is nothing that beats it, nothing more fulfilling, more satisfying. I'm so excited and grateful that over the next however many months before we go, I have this opportunity to spend some time with these guys at MRC and people who've never opened the Bible before. And that God would choose me and that he would choose you to do this is an amazing thing. And we need to embrace that and see it as that. In verse 14, Paul moves on. And he prays for these Ephesians. And this is a beautiful prayer, Trinitarian prayer, where Paul asks the Father in heaven to strengthen the inner being of the Ephesians by the power of the Spirit, so that they might have an ever-increasing understanding and experience of Jesus' love. Verses 17 to 19 say this, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Paul's ultimate prayer for the Ephesians is that in an ever-increasing way they may know the infinite love of Christ, not just in their heads, but in their hearts, at the core of their being. The place where they find their identity, the place that drives their emotions and their thoughts and their words and their actions, that they would know Jesus there, deep down, and that Christ's love would transform them from the inside out. I think this is the most important way in which we can persevere and stay motivated when it comes to mission. This is the way that we're going to keep persisting in praying for our friends, that we're going to keep trying to be intentional in our conversations, going out of our way for people, even when it's tough and it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. This is the way we're going to persevere. In John 4:19, it says, "We love because He first loved us." How many of you have read the book, The Five Love Languages? A few people on this side. It's an old book. Yeah, good to see. One of the main premises in this book is this image or metaphor of a love tank. And the basic idea is that just as vehicles need fuel in their tanks to run well and carry out their tasks of getting us from A to B, if we're going to show love to others, we need fuel in our tanks. It's really a little bit corny, but it does make a bit of sense, so bear with me. The idea is that our love tanks can't really get filled from inside internally, but externally they need to be filled by others. So in the case of marriage, for example, our partner needs to be somehow filling up our love tank, and that might be through spending quality time together or speaking words of affirmation into one another's lives, serving one another, physical affection, as a few other things. But if this is happening and our love tanks are being filled, the idea is that then we're going to be able to give. We need to have something inside to be able to give out. If it's not, we're actually going to be struggling to love others. And I think that same metaphor can be applied to our relationship with God. See, in order to live out our calling, to engage in mission, to love others and to share the good news about Jesus, we personally have to experience and know the love of Jesus in our own lives. But the thing is, this is only going to happen if we spend time with Him. Spend time with God, listening to His word, to His voice, and allowing it to permeate deeply into the core of our being and transform who we are. And here's where we do have a bit of a problem, I think. So many of us, we're actually running on empty. We're running on fumes because we're just not spending the time and allowing God's word to change us, to fill us. So it's no wonder that we're struggling with motivation in mission. We're just feeling spiritually dry ourselves. And I think one of the bigger issues that we face is it's due to the busyness of our lives. And we neglect meeting with God, being filled up. And I don't think anyone can say it's always because we're doing more important things. For one, I don't think there's probably anything much more important than that. But for two, like, all of us are on Facebook, Netflix, whatever you're into, if it's not those things. It might be something physical, activity, whatever. And I think all of us would say that there's room in our lives to just give God a little bit, right? That there is some space if we're honest. So somehow we have to change this. And I've got to say, I am preaching to myself here. I really am. We need to find a way to spend time with Jesus, listening to His voice, if we're going to be filled up so that we can give out. Now, I don't want to give you any specific instructions on how to do this tonight. I don't think there's a silver bullet. There's no formula. There's no one-size-fits-all approach to this. The way you do it may vary. It may involve getting out in nature, music, the word, prayer, fasting, doing it with others, in silence by yourself. But there is one thing I do want to say tonight. If this is something you haven't been doing, just start small. Just like I found that 7-minute workout to be actually helpful, I think if we were just to spend 7 minutes a day with God, just 7 minutes a day, that would make a difference for us. That slowly, God's love would begin to fill us more. I'll never forget a missionary named Alex who's serving in Southeast Asia. And he came to college and was sharing with a group. And one of the things that struck out to me in what he said was, he said, yeah, missional strategies, figuring out how to share the gospel with people from other cultures, like, that's really important. But he said, the number one piece of advice that I can give you as you go out on the mission field is from John 15:4, where Jesus says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Alex's experience was that personal relationship with Jesus was the thing that would help him to bear fruit in mission. And the same is for us, and Paul would agree from this passage. It's only in Christ's love and power that we can ever, ever hope to do this. Now, as we just close our time together now, I honestly think one of the best things we can do to kind of kickstart a response to this is to right now spend some time with God in prayer, in quiet reflection. And after we've been quiet for a bit, I'm just going to read some truths from Scripture about the love of Christ, the love of God that He has for us, over us. And I just want you to meditate on those for a little bit. And then we'll go from there. So why don't you just take this time now just to sit and to pray and to reflect on the love that Jesus has for you and that He has shown you in the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can imagine. Maybe you've been working hard to show Christ's love to some friends, some family, neighbours, and you're feeling you're just getting nowhere fast. You're kind of ready to give up. Maybe you're struggling to find motivation at all in this whole mission thing. Maybe you feel you're just not up to the task. This verse tells us that God is able to do more than we can imagine, to transform us from the inside out. The question is, are you open to that? Are you willing to let him do that? Are we going to see the gospel for the beautiful gift that it is for us? Are we going to see our call to share it with others as an honor, as a privilege that God has given us? Are we going to allow Christ to work in us, to fill us up with his love, so that out of the overflow of that, we can show it to others? I just want to encourage everyone to stand as this next song is sung. And the chorus of this, I think, really fits with kind of what we've been talking about tonight. And it says this: in my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. That's my prayer for all of us tonight.